Saddle up your horses. Well, hello, America, and welcome to the Red Sky Radio program, part of the, well, the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Say, I am so excited and elated today, I can't even get this intro right. Oh, my. I don't think we need to set aside a couple of minutes for some specific tidbits of good news following what God has done this week. Yay, what God hath wrought. I guess let's use some old English here to describe my excitement. This is just really amazing what God did in this election. And I don't have anything in for this week other than about a dozen, well, maybe, I don't know, 10 or so observations and comments. I just kind of have to bring it all together and wrap it all up into this one program as I see it. And point number one clearly deals with the true joy and thanksgiving that I have to our Heavenly Father. His faithfulness to people's prayers. We have been given a reprieve in this country. Oh my gosh, you've heard me more than you probably have wanted to hear me talk about what's coming as a Watchman on the Wall program here, what's coming. But then more recently, in this last year or so, less of what's coming and more of what's already inside the gate, the battle has brought to us, and yet we need to fight. We fight on our knees in this kind of a battle. The victory belongs to God. I mean, he gives it to us, but he has done it. And, you know, I just have to say that I could not anticipate. Well, let me back up here. People have asked me, so many people have asked me, who do you think is going to win? And it's been an easy answer. I don't know. I really, truly don't know. I could see why all these things that have happened and what Trump has had to endure like no other man, short of Jesus and Paul and a few others, it seems like, could not be for a waste. He had to suffer it, it seems like, to bring more people to their knees to intercede and pray for that man. In other words, to bring the prayer volume and participation to a level in this country that he could say, okay, I can hear the cries of my children. I can hear it ascending and coming up, and I will do a work here. And if you had asked me 3 days ago what my response would be to a Trump win, it would not be just the joy and the thanksgiving. But honestly, I'd probably like to be the guy who scores the touchdown on a play that would appear to be all about me. As far as I made a great catch, a one-handed catch. I broke through six or seven runners or something of that sort. And then you want to spike the ball. Because in the flesh, I kind of wanted to spike the ball against the left for all that they have caused, all the damage they have done. But I don't have that attitude today. I don't want to grind them into the ground after the fact. God has done a work that I just am. I'm thrilled to have this burden lifted off of us, at least for a time being. None of this lasts forever, but for the time being, that we can breathe again, and there's this oppression that has been lifted, and the desire is not to try to finish it off by finishing off the enemy. God took care of that. I just simply want to move forward and now get down to the work that we need to do to really, truly begin to turn this country around. This event is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end. It's still the beginning of the beginning. Because if you're going to turn a train around, what do you first need to do? You need to bring it to a stop. You have to halt that beast. And then it turns around in the station and it begins its slow chug the other way. We're in the Grand Central Station right now. The train has turned around. There's so much to do. But the train has turned around. It had to come to a stop before any progress could be made. And I mean progress in the right direction, not in the wrong direction. And that's what this election seems to have done, is to bring this evil demonic freight train to a halt for a period of time. And yes, God's giving us a reprieve to truly repent of the things that have brought this calamitous recent past upon us. Oh boy, that's just point number one. I'm looking down here. I do have 10 points. I hope I can get through them all. Point number two, and this is big. I want you to consider what had to happen for Donald Trump to win. Now, I'm not saying that God is limited in his tools and means and ways by which he accomplishes things. No, I suppose he could just have struck the enemy dead 2 days before the election, and maybe Trump wins by default. But no, none of that. I mean, not that I can read God's mind here, because he has a way of doing things that only he can and should be glorified. That is key here. Only he can and should be glorified. But it has to be done in ways that you could only come out of this and say, oh my goodness, look what God did. Yes, he used human elements all over the place as part of the cause. That's our job. What? Faith without works is dead. And so I had a listener write to me the other day and state that, or yesterday, and state that, just thanking me for what I've done. And it's such a little tiny puny part, but I do all I can do. That's all I can do, is get the word out, shake up some people's minds, stir some hearts, give them both logic and scripture for them to make the right decisions, to encourage them to have the guts to, in fact, make the decisions and step out to speak to the issues, to vote, of course. Voting is really the culmination, not the beginning. It really should be the culmination of a lot of other events and behavior and planning and attitude that finally reach the point and say, okay, we've done all we can do. Now it's just, we're down to the vote. But looking at all that God did, not that he had to, but he did all that he did in a way that he needed to do to get the glory, all of the miraculous things. And I start with one of my favorite passages out of Genesis, where Joseph said that, you know, what the enemy is intended for evil, God is used for good. And I look at that, and I look at all the things that happened to Donald Trump. And these are in no particular order. If you consider all the lawfare against him, I mean, all of the lawsuits and the criminal charges and all of this stuff to take the man out. You know, the word says that Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, the first thing he tries to do would be steal. If he can steal it, he doesn't have to kill or destroy. Right? Yeah, think about that. So the lawfare was intended to be just all components of the enemy's plan to steal this election. But what the enemy intended for evil, God will use for good, and he did, because it was so excessive. so ridiculously over the top. The left thinking, look, if we just have one more lawsuit and we would throw them in jail and we do this, and let's just have another one, and then we'll get these women to come out from 35 years ago and we'll pay them something to lie, sort of like Judas getting paid 30 pieces of silver to turn over Jesus. Not that Donald Trump is Jesus, it was just only an analogy, a metaphor of sorts. But so frequently the enemy will overstate it and overdo it. And the lawfare and warfare and the amount of the injustice against him backfired against the left. The left being the ones who are animated by the enemy. I truly think that. I mean, the left is animated by Satan. That's the way I see it. But it was so excessive that it produced a backlash. It backfired. It created the opposite effect of what the left intended for it to do. They wanted to bury the man, smother the man financially, have him left with no money, have all of his support flee, which so many did flee Trump. Interesting analogy here, if I could make it. When the Romans and the priests and that, elders of the church came to arrest Jesus in the garden, what happened to his friends? They all fled. We observe that. And yet somehow Trump just stood his ground. I don't want to make more of this man than what he is, because God has given him the heart, the steel, the heart of steel, and in a respect to and his love for this country to just stay in this race. Now, no matter what anybody would do, probably, how many times did Melania probably tell him to drop out? I don't know. But he's like a Cyrus, like a Nebuchadnezzar in some respects, a Darius. These guys who were just simply and sovereignly used by God, giving them personality traits. Yeah, he's a bull in a china shop, but you know what? There's an enormous amount of cheap china that needed to be busted in this campaign. But that's his character. Trump was Trump. He did things that I thought, gosh, Donald, can't you just shut up? Can't you just be, why do you have to say this or that? And somehow he dodged those bullets just like he did during the assassination. Well, didn't dodge it actually, but, and this is just a one case in point, and I got to move on to these others. All the lawfare against this man, this gross heaping mounds of injustice from all sides, had an interesting and almost intoxicating appeal to a lot of black men. To a lesser extent Hispanic, but a lot of black men. To whatever extent, I don't want to get into this, to the extent that men, that black men have been abused in the legal process, that's beside the point. I'm sure to some extent real, to some extent exaggerated, to some extent imaginary, but to some extent real and bleed by portions of the black community, because it was real in some portions and to some individuals. But they identified with this. They identified with a man being hung up by a noose by the so-called righteous people, the ones who were in charge of administering the law, and used their role of administering the law to abuse the law. What the enemy intended for evil, God used for good. And drew into this these segments of black men, and particularly like I saw, I think maybe mentioned last week, these guys in South Side of Chicago. BLM t-shirts, but what did it stand for? Black Lives MAGA. Black Lives MAGA shirts. I mean, it's just incredible. The amount, all of them? No. The majority of them? No. But a substantial minority that when combined with the Latino male vote and a growing Latino female vote, put Donald Trump over the top. The next thing, this is point 2B. That was 2A. To be or not to be? Well, we're at a 2B. The media bombed Donald Trump like the Germans bombed England. And they just thought, we just throw enough bombs, they're done. Well, that's the way it was with Trump. If we can just drop enough bombs on Trump, we will destroy him. But much like the British in the bombing of London in World War II, who not only withstood, yeah, there are times they just had to put up with it and hide, but it built a resolve in the British people that they would not give up. It was Winston Churchill, you never give up, you never quit. No, let this be, he said, you know, whether we win or not, let this be Britain's finest hour. And I saw some of this in Trump, that it seemed like the more the media hit him, it had this counterproductive effect, that it built this resolve. And I go back to the gross injustice of the media, who are just prostitutes and pimps, frankly, for the left. But after a while, a lot of people on the sidelines get tired of seeing a neighborhood took over by pimps and prostitutes. Right. And they finally get drawn into the fray, and as neighborhood people, they say, look, this is ridiculous. This is so over the top. Our neighborhood's being destroyed. We got to do something about it. And it was the excessive, intense, and never-ending injustice against Trump by the media as well as the lawfare that just kept drawing more people, bits, twos, and fews, to his side. And God just had to let it go. I mean, he was behind it. He knows what would draw people in. Yeah, some of the things that he said at the rallies, yeah, that helped. But with every act of injustice, there were more recruits that brought in and just said, look, I can't stand, I mean, what Hitler's doing. I'm going to join the army, doggone it. You know what Japan did, bombing Pearl Harbor? That's it. It was like my dad. My dad with two kids joined the Navy in 1940 and never told my mother until he left. So I just got to do it. Well, there were some marital issues there. I'm guessing there had to be. He had a business. He turned his business over to other people. And he went into the Navy and went into the South Pacific because he had to. The call was so great. And the call was great enough that it brought in people the likes of which you could never imagine would come to Donald Trump's aid, actually used by God to bring about this answer to prayer coming from more and more people all the time. Who would have ever guessed a year ago Elon Musk would be by Trump's side and his mega millions of dollars? Who would have thought a year ago RFK Jr. would be at Trump's side? Who would have thought a year ago Tulsi Gabbard would be over there? Who would have thought a year ago that all of these football players like Nick Bosa from the San Francisco 49ers, he shows up on national TV on a game, I think it was Monday Night Football, and he's wearing a Trump hat, a mega hat. He's going to get fined. He knows he's going to get fined. And he says, so what? The cause is too great. The fine is worth it. I'm going to do this. I'm being called into this. This is not something that would happen in a normal campaign. It's not something that would have happened if Nikki Haley was running, or, Ramaswamy, you know, who I was in, well, we'll get to him maybe in a different program. That wouldn't have happened with anybody else except somebody who had to be egregiously, unbelievably abused. A year ago, would Antonio Brown be out trying to get Republicans registered to vote? Le'Veon Bell? Who besides Trump would have drawn into one election Muslim endorsements and Jewish endorsements? Goodness gracious. I mean, who'd have thunk it? And you have to admit, I think there were some people on the left, the milder side of the left, if there is such a thing, that were being drawn to this man. And partly because there's something, and a lot of us, certainly including me, there's this thing called underdog appeal. When the odds are so against somebody doing something great in the natural, you're drawn to it. You're drawn in, and you want to do more to help and support. I mean, I'll use a very secular example. Okay, I'm from Michigan. God bless that state. It went for Trump. But I'm from Michigan. The Detroit Lions have been an NFL doormat forever. It was like everybody's against Detroit. And yet, they have started to build this underdog appeal. They're not the underdog anymore. But run into people out here in the West Coast that are Lions fans. They don't even know why, other than they just kind of want to see the team that's been a doormat rise up and do well. There is that underdog appeal. 2C. I'm down to 2A, 2B, now I'm down to 2C. The assassination attempts. I mean, the courage, the fight, the fist. I don't want to spend much time on this because all of you know this. This is just intuitive now. How could that not draw people? And it did. All of the people that said, all right, I was on the sidelines, but I mean, tech billionaires in the Silicon Valley, ones are saying, look, any guy who's willing to die for this country and not go home and crawl into a basement like Biden did when he campaigned or avoid every possible news interview in the world, because Trump, how many rallies has Trump done since 2016? You ready for this one? As I understand, if this is correct, over 600 rallies. The guy sleeps 15 or 20 minutes at a time. Guy eats garbage, doesn't lose weight. I mean, but God has sustained him. This has a certain humorous but courageous appeal. And there is no question but what the assassination attempts worked to his favor, and God used them, and the sort of the miracle of his turning his head to only get nipped in the ear. And then, interestingly, the Secret Service had to do a crappy job. To do what? To underscore further the miracle nature of his being saved. You see, throughout all of this, God has to be glorified. And it's miracle after miracle after miracle, some big, some smaller. Actually, there's no such thing as a small miracle. I don't even know why I said that. But this wouldn't have played as well if it were a case where everybody is thanking and applauding the Secret Service. No, they screwed up big time. And only because they screwed up big time could people then say, oh my gosh, well, the Secret Service not even doing their job and they're screwing up. I mean, oh my gosh. God must be in this, and he is, and he was. The last minute interview with Joe Rogan, this is just another thing. 70 million people hear this. I got to tell you something. I probably should, because I'm a radio peon compared to Joe Rogan, but I've never heard him in my life. I have never heard him. I'm doing other stuff. I'm busy. I work and I'm busy. But his endorsement, and then to not have Trump, or not to have Harris do it unless she gets it her way, because she's a control freak, to Joe being the Queen Latifah here, whatever, the Queen Poobah has to have Joe Rogan come to her, and then she'd show up late, and he only gets an hour, but she'd show up late and leaves early. She'd only take a half hour of questions, because honestly, she's a dodo bird. She really is, and she couldn't. It would ruin her, but it ruined her more to not show up. So my son calls me, or one of my sons calls and says, I just can't believe this, Dad. I'm reading, and he's a millennial. He said, all the millennials that are voting Trump, now the majority of them, I don't know, but a whole bunch more than otherwise would have before the Rogan interview, that said that what they did was their vote was decided when? When Trump went on Joe Rogan's program for 3 hours and Queen Kamala wouldn't do it unless Joe came to her, and then only for an hour, and she gets to demand what the questions are. And so when she didn't show up, but the guy who's had two assassination attempts against him does 3 hours while he's off to do four more rallies on the same day, they just said, he's a man. He's a guy. That Rogan interview turned a ton of millennials. God being God. Then we get to these other things, the whole McDonald's flap. All she said, the oblique little minute lie about, yeah, I worked at McDonald's. Well, she didn't. She can't prove it. And like some have said, right now, the only advice to her is that McDonald's is still hiring. Now's your chance to actually not lie anymore and go get the job. But Trump, the marketer, the salesman, the no wonder he had the show The Apprentice. God's given him this gift for identifying the opportunistic situations that came his way. He jumped on them. And showing up at the McDonald's and serving 15 minutes and says, there, now I've worked at McDonald's 15 minutes more than others. Look, he identifies with a common man. And I don't think that there are any billionaires I've ever heard of with whom all the regular schmoes of the world, like me, and probably like most of the people listening to the program, actually can identify with them. And then the garbage comment. Oh, my goodness. I can almost hear the F-bombs that Harris was launching at Biden in her own private quarters, but to her advisors about Biden making the comment about us being the new batch of deplorables. We are garbage. That's just what he said. And she had to have been livid because it was she couldn't hang on to anything. Everything that was intended, I mean, Biden obviously intended that for evil, right? Call us garbage, just like Hillary calling us deplorables, and yet God used it for good? Oh, my goodness. I mean, and all that was, the Hitler, fascism, all of that stuff, and this is the party of joy. Well, I'll tell you, there's no joy in that Democratic Party. There's no joy in Joy Reid, who never had any joy anyway. It was fear and desperation by the enemy. And in the midst of this fear and desperation, they only got more fearful and they only got more desperate. And the garbage and thing, just thinking, look, I just got to nail them. And then you hear people like, what's his name, O'Donnell, from, I think he was the one from MSNBC that said that the only reason the Latino men are starting to vote for Trump is because they really deep down in want to be white. I mean, I can't even think of anything more stupid than that. And then Barack Hussein coming out and derisively blasting black men for not supporting her. Black men because they aren't staying on the plantation of which Obama was the master. Yet one more thing that comes out of the mouth of the ungodly intended for evil and God uses it for good. The black guys say, hey, Brock, baby, get out of our way. There's some of them say, look, we're coming off the plantation. Who are you to try to control us? And who are you? And by the way, I've been kind of thinking about leaning towards Trump. Oh, my gosh, Biden, the guy I voted for 4 years ago, you're now calling me garbage? This is unbelievable. And then there is one other thing. I think this is point 2F of on top of all of this, was there yet more that was needed? Like I said, God could do anything he wants here. But the commingling, if you will, of all of these events to produce a victory had to ultimately come down to something. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe we're at a break here. I got 10 things to go over. I'm down to 2F, as in Frank. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Robin Walter with the Red Sky Radio Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
When Sunday mornings rolled around, we dressed up in hand-me-downs, just in time together with the church. Sometimes I think how long it's been, and how it impressed me then. It was the only day my daddy wouldn't work. We were walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Those fertile fields are never far away. We were walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten.
No, oh, I love that song. I feel like we're walking in high cotton right now. 2F. One of the things that needed to happen for Trump to win this. And this was huge. The stepping out of Biden, who was a no-brainer. He had to go, and he was going to get crushed. But the supposed joy, who replaces Biden, the worst president in U.S. history? He gets replaced with the worst candidate in U.S. history, with Kamala Harris, followed by the absolute goofball tampon Tim Walz, the worst, and I mean the worst vice presidential candidate one could even imagine. Dumb and dumber. Those were what was sitting on the other side of this thing. And in some respects, you might think, well, it should have even been a bigger victory. Yeah, in some sense, it should. And my concern is that, yes, Trump won the popular vote. As it stands, counting here, 70, just short of 72 million to just short of 67 million. So right now, Trump is leading the popular vote by 5 million. There's some out there counting. But it's hard for me to believe that it's only 5 million. There's still 67 million people that voted for Harris and Walz. That should be a concerning factor. But on this joyous occasion, we're not going to go there today. Because I got to finish this program. And I'm on to number 3 here. I'm going to have to speed up things to get through it. But I'm thrilled here. This is just a personal little thing. It's not that important to most. But I'm thrilled that Trump won the state of Michigan. But I am maybe more thrilled. Well, I wouldn't have been more thrilled if a loss in Michigan meant the loss of Trump. Don't get me wrong here. But the Republicans in the state of Michigan retook the state House of Representatives, which means that the evil witch of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, cannot ram, cram, slam, and jam her garbage through the legislature anymore. So I'm hoping that this is a beginning of a turnaround of my home state. I don't live there, but like Paul, you know, Paul's job was to the Gentiles. He was a Jew, but his role was to bring salvation to the Gentiles. But he never lost his love for the Jews. I never lost my love for my home state and the family I have there. Okay, enough of that. Number 4, this is big to me. In a couple of months will be the 20th anniversary of Red Sky Radio, the Robin Walter Show, which I go back, used to be, a long time ago, Sovereign America. And before that, it was Free California. It was back when it was a local program in Santa Maria, California. And so I had no thought that it was going to reach out across the United States. It's just going to be local. Free California. Let's free California of the burden. And that was the role of it. But it'll be 20 years. But for those who have been listening a long time, and we do have some people who have listened, you know how many times I have said my prayer and my belief would be that my prayer would be, and if it happens, it was my belief that it would and could happen anyway, that if this country is going to turn around, it would be because of the rise of articulate and conservative black and Latino communities, and particularly the men. That's been my prayer. I want black men to rise up and Latinos to rise up. I don't need, trust me, I'm not against white women. I'm a white guy. I'm married a white woman. None of that really matters. But I didn't see that element of our society as being critical to it turning around. It was going to require blacks and Latinos, Hispanics, to be engaged and come out like they have never come out before. Majority, well, not quite so much on the black side, but a huge increase. And what, 54% of Latino men, 54% voted for Trump? 43% among the entire Hispanic community. Yeah, the Hispanic women, I don't know, it was the abortion thing or something like that. Some of them drank some Kool-Aid, but the Latino guys, the Hispanic men, no, 54%. And of course, Lawrence O'Donnell, if that's who said, I think it was, who said that they only voted for Trump because they want to really be white. I mean, goodness sakes, how condescending can you get? But I got laughing just in preparation of this program thinking, oh my gosh, 54% of the Hispanic men voted for Trump. Would that or might that not cause the left to rethink the whole process of illegal immigration and how many Latino men can we get into this country to find out that? Now, I understand the ones that voted here, for the most part, I'm guessing, were legally entitled to vote. They're citizens. They've been here for some time. They're acculturated. They see the blessings of this country and all of that. But I was humored by the thought that, is it possible? Look, I support our borders. We need to export, deport those who are here illegally. But I was kind of humored by the thought that, you know, are we actually letting in more future Republicans? Well, no. The ones that are here illegally need to go. But that is a mind-blowing statistic. And trust me, Latino men, and I'm going to say Latino women, and black men, black women, they're not for queer marriage. They aren't for gender mutilation. They aren't for this woke crap. They aren't for having their daughters be in the same locker room as some dude. No. There are some common values that the left thought was going to, that the left thought most people supported. And what Donald Trump has helped do is help free people to come out and say these things on these moral issues that they didn't dare to be said. And you saw Trump's ads at the end. I mean, that one saying Kamala believes in transitioning subsidies for prisoners and stuff like that. And I said, not Trump. And then there's this picture, not Trump, he's not going there. And there's this picture of about five or six basketball players, girls, that are about, who knows, 5'8 to 5'11, standing next to some dude, some tranny guy who's about 6'6. It's a pretty compelling picture. But you saw this come out, like I said, the Black Lives MAGA. More people seeing the abuse and the injustice of the left, what the enemy intended for evil, God using for good. Number five, this is an observation here that, and I've made this point a number of times, and I have to say, before others were saying it, but it's just something I felt like God showed me his work in not having Trump win the second time around and the re-election bid. Not having him win that. Because what that defeat, so-called, unjust as it was, did was it gave Trump a redo. He gets to see all the traitors and the crooks and the deep staters that wiggled their way in and cozied up to him and all of those kinds of things that they did to earn his favor. And when all the time they were trying to submarine him and take him off at the knees with a rusty knife, he gets a redo. I mean, even Melania came out and said, I got to tell you, my staff isn't going to be what the staff was I had before. Probably there are a few. And Trump is going to keep, Trump will keep a few. Mike Pompeo, I think he'll be back in there. But there's going to be a lot of new people in there. And there is going to be a loyalty pledge, which there needs to be. You can't have people working for you who are fundamentally disloyal and want to upend you and ruin what it is that you're out to do. You can't have those people. So this is huge. I mean, can you imagine? All right, just imagine this. Trump won the second time around on the re-election bid. So he's done. A couple days ago, who's running? Mike Pence. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I'm not going to say he's not Christian. I'll trust his judgment, but he's sold out. I mean, I'll trust his statement and confession, but he's sold out in so many ways. A horrible vice president. He's not burdened with that. He's got a true believer in J.D. Vance. He's got somebody who's Trump 2.0. He's got somebody who will only be 43 when Trump is done. And he got a 43-year-old who maybe picks a 42-year-old like Ramaswamy or somebody else. And that's the new vision? That's the new picture of the Republican Party? Gosh, I'm just thinking of this. Okay, Vance has got an Indian wife. Ramaswamy is Indian. And we're about, I mean, three out of the four out of the president. I don't know. I don't want to go there because it's. I think it's pretty clear, at least at this point, I was wrong. Well, I was wrong, as I have been, certainly more than once, that I thought Newsom would be the candidate. I still thought he would end up being the candidate, but he wasn't, and I think it makes the prediction at this point a little easier that the 2028 campaign will be J.D. Vance against Gavin Newsom, and others are saying that. I'm not the first one. I've been thinking it from the minute that Trump got elected. But he was always the one who was going to me, was going to be running in 2024. He got called in too late. He wisely laid back. He wisely hung out on that one to read the tea leaves, seeing that there's a good chance while he could beat Trump, maybe he would lose. And if he lost, he would not have 2028 opportunity. Now he thinks he will, and he's definitely gearing for it, but that's down the road. So that's number six. I guess I jumped ahead here. 4 years from now, I do think it'll be Newsom and Vance. My prediction was wrong. My bad. I got to, this is an aside. I have a client who turns 90 in just a few weeks, and she had, you know, she just kind of mixed up something, but she wrote, and in her email, she said, ended it with, "My bad," and I thought it was hilarious, somebody that age using that expression, and she didn't do anything wrong, but she's a gracious, lovely woman, and I love her to pieces, just like my mother. Okay, number seven, observation, the left ate their young in this campaign. I mean, Joe Biden, which after the picture of him showing, fastening his jaws on the leg of this child, changed him to Joe Biden, B-I-T-E-N. But they just ate their young, and not literally in that case, but every time they said or did something, it turned around to just kind of bite them in the rear end. They consumed themselves, and it is no clearer, could not be clearer now than all of the blame shifting going on. They're blaming Joe Biden for not buying out earlier. Well, why didn't they step up and say, you should have bowed out early? Well, he had the left-wing media covering for him. People are blaming George Clooney for the loss because He was the one who forced Biden out. Now, some are saying Biden's the problem because he didn't step out earlier, and there half of them are saying Clooney's a problem because he forced Biden out, and if Biden had stayed in, maybe he would have won. I mean, they've just formed their own circular firing squad. And I can't deny I sort of just like sitting back. I don't have to say much more than this. I just like enjoying sitting back and listening to that going on. Oh, my goodness sakes, that they've gone after each other like this. It's just pretty amazing. I got a question here, but it's a rhetorical question. Point number 8, is there anyone on the left who privately being the key word here, is glad that Harris lost? Well, I think there might be three. There are two for sure. It might include Biden, interestingly. I mean, he never liked Harris. And a lot of people don't like her, so that's not unusual from that standpoint. But I'll tell you, Joe Biden's concession speech that I heard, not concession, but his, well, yeah, it was a concession speech, but done on Thursday afternoon. It was the best speech Joe Biden has ever given. He was some lies in there, of course, but they were coherent lies, and they were milder in form. He was smiling all the time. He's finally thinking, man, I want to get the heck out of here. I can't stand this anymore. I want to go back to the beach in Delaware. I want to drive my cherry Corvette. I'm not going to go to jail because the DOJ has let me off. I got to get out of jail free card here. I don't have to hang around and continue to do stuff for Harris, who the Babylon Bee said, interestingly, a few days ago, after the garbage comment, that the Harris campaign was calling upon Joe Biden to take up a call for a rally in Antarctica. Really urgent need. Okay. So, any case, that's Biden. But the two that do want him gone, the two that I think are glad that Harris is gone privately, number one, Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton doesn't want Trump as president. She hates him. But what I'll tell you what she really hates, really truly hates here, is have somebody else take her place that she thinks she deserves. That's right. She thinks she deserved this. And doggone it, that a dodo bird like Harris might have won. She actually thinks it's a good thing that she lost. That woman is so full of herself. She's thrilled at the demise of people who think just like her if she can't be at the center of attention. And the other one is, as I mentioned, Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is privately thrilled that Harris lost. Because if Harris won, guess what? Harris is running in 2028. And Gavin Newsom does not want to run 8 years from now after Harris would have had a chance to doubly and royally screw up the country. And to point number 9. I think we're going to fit them in here. Just an observation that only, in my opinion, an overwhelming win, unquestionable win, an undeniable win would, number one, quell riots, riot potential. We haven't seen it so far. If it were close, really close, of course, the left would all of a sudden become the election deniers, right? Trump must have cheated, blah, 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 which is, of course, ridiculous, but that doesn't or wouldn't ever stop them from saying that. But it would also justify that somehow the election had been stolen. I mean, not justify, it justify the response to the allegation that the election was stolen, and therefore will burn, loot, and murder, BLM kind of a thing. And there hasn't been that. And isn't it interesting that where the National Guard was called out on Monday morning at various locations, every single location where they were called out to monitor and be ready for riots and so forth was where Antifa and BLM and the left had rioted before. None of them were called out to locations that are conservative strongholds in anticipation of a conservative riot for Harris stealing and cheating and lying her way to the White House. No. Every single deployment of troops and officers were in leftist areas where they could anticipate that only the left. What does that tell you about the left? They only know violence, steal, kill, and destroy, right? That's, and to me, only the overwhelming, convincing, undeniable win takes the wind out of that resistance, violence, reactionary response by the left to losing. If you really get creamed, let's use a football analogy. Let's suppose there's a bad call by a ref, and you're on the team that loses. The call that was costly was against you, and you lose the game 40-39, and it comes down to that call. People are indignant. You might end up with unsportsmanlike conduct at the ending game because you got ripped off. But if there was a really horrific call that ripped your team off, but you lost 41-17, there's not going to be that response. You see, the overwhelming win, the overwhelming response tends to quell the anticipated reaction to a perceived wrong. And that's why I think that that's important. And I also would think, as a bit of an extension on that same thing, I certainly hope, I definitely pray, that there won't be another attempt on Trump's life. But it comes back a little bit to the same rationale. He's not Hitler, we know that. He's not fascist. Once he's elected, everybody's going to see that everything the left was saying was a lie, because that's all they do, seem to lie. But in the interim, between the election and the inauguration, it was where he would be at risk, or so I think, to some degree, but not what it would be if it were a really, really close election, not if it were a contested election, not if it came down to the hanging chads kind of fiasco with Bush and Gore in Florida, 20 years ago or something. No, if it came down to that situation, then I think the people are going to say, well, this is Hitler stealing an election. Well, the whole Hitler thing, which never stuck anyway, people know that, but it falls apart even further when the win is overwhelming and convincing. So God in his mercy didn't just give us a win and Donald Trump a win for the sake of trying to redirect this country. But the overwhelming nature of the win also then quelled the potential for the destruction that everybody else seemed to anticipate. So that, and then point number 10, I sort of made this before, but if I did, it's worth repeating. God's mercy. It is God's mercy to give us yet another chance to repent. The country, the Republicans helped get Ronald Reagan elected, and then things fell apart because, the conservatives, they went back to work, they went back to raising their family and all of those things, and just kind of left it up to Ronnie to do the job. And things got a little bit sideways, not because of him, but because of a lack of support. The conservatives tend to, when they show up, to accomplish a purpose and then go back to what they were doing. The left seems relentlessly focused on simply controlling the world now and forever. God gave Donald Trump a victory. This is part of my number 10, part of his mercy, because of his love for Israel. We haven't had a president in a really long time, maybe forever, honestly, who's more supportive of Israel than Donald Trump. So God's mercy on the United States will translate into mercy for the nation of Israel, support for the nation of Israel. Israel, which took its own little vote, was 64 Trump, 18 Harris. The rest were undecided. And God's move to install Trump, we tend to think is just for us. But no, it's also to benefit the apple of his eye, the nation of Israel. Because he has put in the heart of Trump the heart of Osiris, and that is to bless the nation of Israel. And to bless, regardless of whatever that person has done in the past, he's going to use them now to accomplish his purpose. And for that, we give God all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And yet we still continue to ride for the brand, that brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.